Hello and welcome back to another episode of Podcast 63, where it is, when this goes live, T-minus 22 days until there will be Rambler basketball. It's not official, it's still the exhibition game, but, you know, it's something.
And I'm we'll be seeing jerseys.
We'll be seeing jerseys.
We'll be seeing players. We'll be seeing some dunks.
Lots of swooshes, swoosh noises.
Porter yelling.
Porter is going to be livid.
Porter squatting.
How long? We have to make a bet on how long the first Porter's jacket stays on for.
Ooh. He might be wearing a polo, though.
Over, maybe. Under. Yeah, that's true for the estimation. Anyway, we're getting into it. This week's episode is sponsored by my dearest mother, because we are recording this podcast on the day of my birth.
Woo-hoo!
23 years ago today. Woo-hoo! Shout out to my mom. You did it. You made a perfect child. You did it. And it's me. So, congrats to my mother. Congrats to me. Anyway, it's going to be a fun episode. We got a few news articles. We're going to start on a new segment this week, which we'll see. It should be fun. And then we're going to start talking about some conference teams. We'll break down three of those. And, I don't know, lots of other fun stuff. So stay tuned, and welcome to another episode of Podcast 63.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots, off the rim, Brown gets the score. It's over, it's over. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
So I don't know about you, Lou, but one of the bummers about trying to find the Loyola games is sometimes on the road, especially, it's hard to find the game. You know, you can't go to the game if it's not close by, and they're not always on TV, and there's no radio that's covering them, at least in the past few years. So I've always struggled to find the games. I end up just watching them on Box Score, ESPN, whatever, like the play-by-play, and that's no good. That's not good. You don't know what's going on. But, Lou, is there some new information on that? Are we going to have a new way to follow our Rambler team when they're on the road?
Yeah, so a big thing that has come, especially in the recent years, like ESPN Plus coming into kind of not take over, but just the wave of college sports being streamed. Mm-hmm. So it's been tough to listen, but the team announced recently, and it's great now because we're getting a lot of all these, we're finding out about TV deals and we're finding out about all these things, but the team announced working with, if people don't remember, the marketing group that came in called Learfield Marketing Group. They're helping reach out and expand the game to audio stream. That's the best way to call it. It's not really radio, it's audio stream.
What makes it different from radio to audio stream?
Yeah, so radio, you won't be able to find this on your car radio. Won't be able to. You have to go to the website or mobile, so on a laptop or on your phone, which then, hey, heads up everyone, you can plug it into the aux cord and still play it in your car. Mm-hmm. So you can listen to it, but they'll be doing games. So they're going to have that going. Just reading the article, so if you guys want, just go to LoyolaRamblers.com and read the articles that have been talking about this, but they're not really sure right now the full process of the full extent of play-by-play or what's going on, but right now it's just the audio of the games and seeing how that works, and I think that's a huge advantage for people who can't make it to the games. Mm-hmm. It gets that whole fandom out there and spreads the word, and I think some people were looking for it. I think it's a great thing to have, and especially in an area where people are kind of commuting. So if you're late and you're getting home late and the game's on, hey, or if you're traveling on a Saturday or Sunday when we got weekend games, especially going into non-conference, it's going to be great to have, I think. I think it's another thing, an interesting thing, just if true Loyola alumni or anyone are asking, why not our own WLUW station? Why did we not ever
Didn't we used to do that? Or?
So yeah, we used to do an audio little stream there, but it actually cost us money because it's a little hard to do the radio when you don't have ads going in. As people may not know, WLUW, I believe, does not have any ads on any of their radio networks or just any of their streaming segments. So for the game to go on and actually have a whole system but not get any money in return, that's tough. But I believe this audio will. So that's a big thing just for people to not be thrown off. But again, it's about a Loyola Ramblers men's basketball team, so hopefully you will stay tuned and stick with it. But that's exciting things to see the program kind of expand to other networks.
Yeah, and also to keep with the theme of being able to stay tuned to the team on the road, or just at home too. There are going to be a few select Loyola games that are broadcast on ESPN2, which is a nationally televised cable television. So that's super cool. There's going to be the Bradley at Loyola game on February 1st, and also the Northern Iowa at Loyola game February 15th, and then the last regular season contest, I think we might be at Missouri State, or at Bradley, one of the two. There's three different games that ESPN2 could flex to. So it's like Loyola has one of them, and then there's two other ones. So we could possibly be on ESPN2 three times, which is exciting, and also cool that it's going to be at home, and those will be times when students are back, February 1st, February 15th. So hopefully we can pack the place and make it look cool, make it look fun. And most
especially
importantly,
with the new court, guys.
New court. Most importantly, get that W. Yeah. So that's a cool thing. There's also going to be other. I know the Valley has a couple different deals with cable television. So I think like Fox Sports shows some games, and there's a couple other stations too. But those are the big ones. Those are the ones that have been confirmed so far. So in addition to some of the broadcast news. Our good old sister Jean won an award this past week. Did you hear about this, Lou?
Yes, I did. I read it.
Yeah, it's called the Gutenberg Award.
Want to explain what that is?
Yeah. So she, I'm looking at the men's basketball team tweeted this past week. So she's going to receive the award from the Chicago Bible Society on October 15th. It's always cool to see some like national attention given to any of our people, any of the people in the university, especially Sister Jean. We love Sister Jean. So she's going to receive this prestigious award at annual awards luncheon, October 15th. And so it just goes on to like describe like why she's receiving it. It's the name, the Johann Gutenberg Award. He was the inventor of the printing press and publisher of the first printed Bible. So that's who the award is named after, and it recognizes an individual whose life and work have contributed to the promotion and understanding of the Bible. So there's no better person in the whole world, in my opinion, than Sister Jean to receive this award. She is constantly living out good news, and just, you know, she's a great person, you know, religious or not. Everyone knows she's a great person, and so it's cool to see her being recognized for this award. We love you, Sister Jean, and congrats on the award. Lou, do you want to share your congrats to her as well?
I think just another amazing woman doing great things, and it's always great to have her honored. Again, I think it was great for us just to have Sister Jean a few years ago be shared in the worldwide kind of care of everyone, and now
she's an international superstar.
Exactly. So the fact that now she's getting awards about it and pretty much just showing everyone's appreciation to what she does for the team, but then also for the school and for the community. I think it's just great to have Sister Jean as a symbol like that. So go, Sister Jean.
Yeah, we love her. Last bit of news here, and it's going to lead into our new segment. Some unfortunate news. A former Rambler player who played with the team from 2002 to 2004, Terrence Whiters, unfortunately passed away this past week. The report says that he was shot in the head. Very unfortunate news. He died was shot in his hometown of Baltimore, Maryland. We just wanted to pass the news along if any of our listeners, long-time Ramblers fans or new Rambler fans, you know, we just want to keep you in the loop with some of our past alumni. Very unfortunate news. But leading into our newest segment, we're going to start a segment called Rambler of the Week, where we probably most likely will do basketball players, but we could also, if there's another reason for someone in the Loyola community who's has some sort of relation to the basketball team that's worthy of this weekly award or weekly segment. We just want to kind of talk about Ramblers, young and old, doing some good stuff, or talk about some of the guys from the older teams, like the 60s when we were dominant, or the 1963 championship team, or some of our previous good years. So the first guy we're gonna honor with this award is Terrence Wieters, who, as I mentioned before, played with the team from 2002 to 2004. That was when Loyola was in the Horizon League, the good old Horizon League. He played his freshman year. He averaged 9 points. Pretty successful player. It looked like he was coming off the bench. And then his sophomore year, he averaged 10.5. And that was before he transferred. He then transferred out of Loyola after 2 years, and he went to Towson, and then finished his career, I believe, was it Louisiana Tech? Arkansas Tech. Yeah. There, one of his best games we were reading up was a game where we played at Wright State, and he came off the bench, and he scored 22 points and had 5 assists. So, I don't believe he was a part of any of the Loyola championship teams. I don't think we...
I don't think we really had many then.
Yeah, back in the early 2000s. And then he did go on to play some professional basketball. He played in the Summer League 1 year with the New York Knicks Summer League team. And then he also played in the PBL, which is a European professional basketball league, for 1 year, had a pretty successful year there, and that was in 2013-2014. So that's going to be our Rambler of the Week. Probably do this week to week, and just kind of highlight someone that's in the news. But we want to share our deepest condolences to Terrence Wieters and his family. When one of us in the Rambler community mourns, we all do. So, deepest condolences to Terrence Wieters. But that will conclude our news section. And next, we're going to start talking about the conference and the conference schedule. So stay tuned.
And the Ramblers are moving on!
So why do we need to listen?
Easy breezy,
but then
cover squirrel.
You need to listen. If you didn't listen to the last podcast, it's kind of a tough last kind of stretch.
Yeah. So tune back.
So yeah, tune back, please.
If you haven't heard our non-con, go ahead. Last 3 episodes, we talk about it. But now we're going to talk about the meat and potatoes of the schedule, which is the conference schedule, the Missouri Valley Conference. Because if we do well in conference, we get a good seed in the tournament in Arch Madness, and then we win Arch Madness, and we go to March Madness all over again. We go to the Final Four. We win the championship then.
Yeah, let's win the championship first, because we didn't do that last year, even with the one seed. But it's a progress. It's progress.
Right. So we're gonna how we're gonna do it is we're gonna end up just talking about three teams for the next 3 weeks. So then we'll hit all 9 of the other Missouri Valley teams, and we're just gonna do an alphabetical order, no rhyme or reason. We'll probably eventually give our like predictions about the top, you know, how we predict the conference to go.
Yeah.
But for now, we're just gonna do the first three teams, which are Bradley, Drake, and Evansville. So, Lou, why don't you take it away and start talking about Bradley?
Yeah. Love that we're starting with Bradley. Love that they happen to be number one in alphabetical order because they're the defending champs.
Mm-hmm.
They won the Missouri Valley Conference. They beat us to make it to the finals. So this team, we kind of have...
we have some beef.
We have beef, but
also... With the meat of the episode.
With the potatoes.
And the beef. We have beef.
There we go. We have beef. Where's the beef? But... It's also going to be a little sour. It's right now, anytime you think of Bradley, it's like, that game wasn't good for us.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't like seeing them in the tournament. Granted, they kind of give Michigan State a scare, but still, we wanted to be the ones.
It was a winnable game.
Yeah. So what we got to first start off with is people need to realize, and there are going to be teams, and there's one team in particular we're talking about this, but Bradley is still Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
They did not lose major pieces, but major pieces stayed. Because there was a lot of rumors. We're going to kick off this one just quick for people to know. That they're two big boys. They're two, not big boys, actually. One of them's pretty small. But they're two big pieces we're considering leaving. And that's Terrell Brown Jr. and Elijah Childs. And they had great tournament games. They were put on national stages.
Mm.
So they really showed. And then winning the Missouri Valley Conference really just put them on national stage. And really, that's a thing. But... Here's what people need to know is these two guys are coming back.
Mm-hmm.
They got the sixth man of the year, or co-sixth man of the year, if I'm correct,
so.
And Nate Kennel. And then,
he killed us in that
exactly.
In
this
that
team
game.
Killed us.
Yeah.
So if people don't know, we're just talking about how these teams react to us.
Yeah.
We'll talk later on how they're going to do Valley-wise as a whole.
Yeah.
But this team, I think, is a team to be kind of wary. But if we had to break it down, they got a starting five that's going to consist of Darrell Brown. They got Elijah Childs. So they got guys. They got Nate Kennel. I think he's actually going to come off the bench and start now. Sixth man's a year usually transition into that little role. But and then the guys you got to watch are Koch Barr. People might not really remember him as a skilled offensively, but, man, he's 6'11". He was there with the blocks in our game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a big-time transfer for Bradley and for the Valley, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We got to think of these transfers as big-time, and it's Dana Kingsby. And he was from LSU or committed to LSU.
Yeah, briefly.
But
like,
then he went back
there.
To JUCO. So there is a way to say that he had skill. LSU reached out to him. They offered. Or they, something happened where LSU...
He even so far as, like, went there... And, like, played on their summer, like, trained with them.
If people don't know, that's kind of similar to what Milton Doyle did. Milton Doyle went to Kansas,
right.
Played on their summer, and then realized, hey, it's not for me, and then quickly made the transfer to Loyola. So, pretty much with Bradley, and we got to give a shout-out to one of the greatest websites and pretty much one of our great resources.
Mm-hmm.
Can't forget about these guys. But Three Man Weave, please head out, check them out, give them a follow, and we respect them. But they really do a great breakdown. And we agree with a lot of what they say. Key returners.
So here's 247 Sports reported that former junior college standout Dana Kingsby announced this past New Year's Day that he was going to transfer from LSU. So he played in junior college, then he committed to LSU, and before even playing a game for LSU, he said that he was going to leave. And then eventually committed to Bradley.
There we go.
So
there
yeah,
we go.
That was the... clarification there.
There we go. No, it's great to know. So this guy is a real guy, but you got to look at Bradley. Lastly, I'll just say you got to look at him as Darrell Brown. He's 5'10", but man, did he put up. He scored 14 points a game, 3 assists, and he kind of was a guy that kind of really hard to guard. The biggest piece after, without a doubt, be Elijah Childs. 6'7", he dominated the Michigan State game. He showed people his athleticism. He got kind of talking, little mumbles, little rumblings about leaving. Bradley.
I think Elijah Childs might have a better year than Darrell Brown. I think Darrell Brown's going to do the whole like Clayton Custer thing, where he had a really great junior year.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you're thinking he's going to take that next step and waiting for him to like have that 25-30 point game. And I think it's tough.
Elijah
Childs has a lot going for him.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's like nothing on Clay. We're not. But the thing is, people got to realize
it's in the past. But that's
it's
what
in the
happened.
Past, but
like,
that yeah, exactly. When you have a team as talented or has other people to score.
Yeah.
Someone who might have had one great year, and that's kind of Porter's motto, is like the next man up. Like if that guy's not there this game,
right.
And someone else. So I think I totally agree, Elijah Childs. And quite honestly, I think people need to realize Elijah Childs might give our boy Cameron Pollock a run for his money for being player of the year.
Yeah, I think he's gonna be like top five for sure.
I think Elijah Childs was on the third team all MVC last year, but again he was only a sophomore last year. People gotta remember Elijah Childs only a junior. So I think Elijah Childs might go into this.
Same year as Krawig. Yeah.
So I think these guys are a little bit more athletic. But finishing off, Nate Kennel, off the bench, come on, sixth man of the year. We've had our own sixth man of the year turn into something great in Andre Jackson, so we know
mm-hmm.
how effective sixth man of the year can be. Koch Barr, just I think he's a big senior now. He's big. His role is going to be offense. I think his role is going to be mainly rebounds and defense. That's a huge
mm-hmm.
thing for him. Nearly averaged a block a game. Elijah Childs averaged over a block a game last year. So and then Dana Kingsbury, we don't know, but
yeah,
we know
he's gonna
got
be a
high ceiling.
Yeah, if I think like their season probably depends on him a lot. If he's like a guy that produces for them, they could be really good.
Yeah. So
and if he doesn't, then they might not be in the top tier of the conference.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing. If we're really just gonna say, I do think Bradley can reach that top four tier.
Yeah,
I think Bradley is deserving of a considered top four teams in the Valley. And that's my prediction there, and that's pretty much a summary. Buck, you got anything about Bradley?
Yeah, I mean, the only other guy I wanted to talk about was Jayshon Henry, who he's a sophomore this year. I think he was a freshman last year. He averaged only 4 points a game, but he's really athletic. I think he's like 6'5", and he's a guard. He's a big guy for a guard, and he gave us problems last year both. And I remember that the last home game where we beat Bradley to win the regular season title or tie for the regular season title, and also I think he gave us some troubles in the tournament too. So I think he might be a guy that takes another step forward. He's kind of pesky. He's like athletic like Lucas Williamson. Like he's a really good defender. He's athletic. He doesn't have the 3-point shot. At least last year he didn't, like Lucas does, but I think just another guy to look out for. He's going to be a guy that's very much in the mix, getting a lot of rotation minutes. I think he's going to be in the mix. But, yeah, that's a good – I think that's a good good summary about Bradley. So then moving on from Bradley, unless you have anything else.
No, let's move it on. Next team.
Next team is Drake. Co-champs last year with us. Lost a lot of guys. Two big holes. Three key players. Nick Norton, who unfortunately wasn't able to play the whole year last year, suffered, I think, an ACL tear. Yeah. And then was denied his sixth-year waiver. Yep. He tried to get a waiver to play a sixth year because of his medical problems. Mm-hmm. It was denied. Unfortunate. We always, you know, we want to see the good players stick in the valley. He seemed like a good guy, and it was unfortunate. But he will not be returning. And then I think he was either the runner-up or the second runner-up for Player of the Year in the Valley, Defensive Player of the Year in the Valley, Nick McGlynn, graduated. So then the question is, who do they have left? And there's a couple guys. DJ Wilkins, who's a guard. He was on the all-freshman team last year. He averaged, I think, around 11 points a game. He's a good, skilled guard. He's going to be the guy, I think, that creates a lot of stuff for them. He's going to be driving the hoop. He's a good player. After that, there's two key guys that I think we need to keep in mind. And they're the brothers, the Murphy brothers. And we've talked about one of them a lot on this podcast before, Tramell Murphy. But first, let's talk about the other one, Anthony Murphy. Anthony hasn't had any run-ins with the law. He is the lesser, in my opinion, of the two brothers. Only averaged around 7 points a game last year, but he's kind of one of their defensive stalwarts on that team. Like, he is a key fixture for them on the defensive side. So that's one guy. And then his brother, Tramell Murphy, who we've talked about a bunch, has had the run-in with the law, and pled guilty to a couple charges. We talked about that last week. He is the guy, in my opinion, that their whole season is going to hinge on. Three-man Weave actually had a really good little portion about him, and they agreed. Like, they were talking about how they also think that he is going to be their key player to watch for. Like, the success of Drake is going to depend on him. And my whole thing is, Three-man Weave didn't talk about his legal issues, his legal troubles. So they're doing this based on, like, strictly basketball. And if there's anything that might go wrong, or he might not play as much as some of the other guys, or he might not be able to play, or, you know, what have you, I don't know. I don't see the pieces here for this Drake team. I think they got a really good grad transfer in Brady Ernst from Florida Gulf Coast University, 6'10". Some of the highlights, I know he can shoot pretty well, and he's pretty athletic. He's a senior. And then they have Noah Thomas, another guard who's a quick twitch sort of guy, and he gave us some troubles, but I think we controlled him pretty well. And their returning big guy, Liam Robbins, to me it just sounds like a name of a guy who's going to get torched by Cameron Crutwig twice this year.
But he's big, though. So
he's a tall human being. That is true.
So I'll add my two pieces.
Yeah, go for it. No, so I just think I don't see the pieces there for them.
Yeah, no, I think quick summary about Drake transitioning from a great season, I think, with a rookie coach getting the first seed or co-first seed into the tournament is ouch.
Ouch?
Ouch, because there's really no break for them. There's no going to be back-to-back. I don't see them Valley, Co. or anything, because they lost so many great players. They had three big features. One guy nearly beating our boy, Marcus Towns, for Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the caliber, and then now with news of maybe a player who is a key kind of cornerstone for their team transitioning into this new team, it won't be there. There's really kind of going to be a tough break, and really it's going to be only one guy from any kind of Valley Award situation. So this team, I don't really see. I think this is going to be definitely a big rebuilding year. They got a great coach, great young coach, but great, like, young in the Valley and thinking. But I think this is going to be tough on the caliber players and just, like, who they got. It's going to be interesting. I do think they kind of have some – they got Robbins being the 7-foot, but they got 6'7 guys. So they kind of got big bodies and they got guys there, but I think they're going to need a few more kind of –
I think this team could, like, win a couple games against the top tier. Like, they might win at home against Loyola or Missouri State. But I just, like, don't think... I think when it comes down to the end of the season, I think they're going to be looking at, like, a 500 conference record.
Okay. I disagree okay. definitely beating the top tier team. Okay. I think they might be able to scrap a few here and there against Valpo, Indiana State, and even Illinois State, but I don't really see... It's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a tough one to swallow. I personally, three-man weave, again, they do so much, and I don't know how much time they have. I definitely would disagree that they're a Tier 1 team.
Yeah, they have them even above...
Even with Terrell Murphy, if he were to play on the team, I don't think they're a Tier 1 team. Mm-hmm. I think they are a 7th seed or 6th seed, but I want to put them at my 7th seed.
Okay, so you're not very high on Drake.
No, because I just don't think the team is there.
Yeah.
That was there last year. And again, that's the big thing is Nick... Norton was hurt, but then Nick McGlynn came out.
Right.
Nick McGlynn defensively was great.
And that kept them,
I think, in games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what allowed them to end up being co-champs with us. But this year, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I think that's true. We'll talk about it a little more, but I would have them near, like, Northern Iowa. I think the top three is probably, like, Missouri State, us, and Bradley. And then I would have Drake and Northern Iowa in the same
category. So that's a definitely disagree. I had Bradley in... I had Bradley in fourth, but I wouldn't put Northern Iowa too far from there.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Just me.
So little intro to what we'll eventually get into and break down.
Exactly.
So yeah, all right. Bradley and Drake, check. Last team we got today is Evansville. So I think Evansville is going to have a pretty good starting five. They return some guys like KJ Riley and John Hall, who are both pretty good scorers for them. I think they both averaged over 10 points a game for them. And then they have a very interesting transfer in Sam Cunliffe, who Sam Cunliffe transferred from Kansas, which is a blue blood top tier college
basketball.
We know another
guy who transferred to the Valley from Kansas.
Do we really? What who would that be?
People don't remember Milton Doyle.
Milton Doyle, baby. But yeah, so I think their starting five is going to be decent. KJ Riley, John Hall, and then they have a redshirt freshman, DeAndre Williams, who are projected to be in their starting lineup. And then they have the two transfers, Sam Cunliffe from Kansas, and then Arthur Labinowitz. That's going to be my guess on his name. Transferred from Coastal Carolina. Who 2 years ago averaged over 10 points for them. But I think where they're going to run into some trouble is they just don't have any depth. They have a really interesting freshman in Thomasai Gilgeous-Alexander, brother of current Oklahoma City Thunder guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one on Evansville, he's 6'5", and if he's anything like his brother, he's probably got like a 7-foot wingspan. He's a guard, and I'm sure he just has raw talent. So I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of stuns some guys. He's got a different build than a lot of the guards in the Valley. So he might give some matchup problems. I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if he made like a freshman team. I also wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the year he's playing 2 minutes a game and not scoring. You know, like, so I think he's a guy for me for that Evansville team that could boost him up a little bit, or could also, if he doesn't play, then they just don't have any depth. I think Evansville's gonna be a little better. I think they're gonna be more athletic than last year, but
where do you have
them? Oh, near the bottom.
Near the bottom. Okay.
Not the worst. I think they'll probably finish. What, we play 18 conference games, right? I'm going to go with, I don't know.
Just where do you see them in the standings?
Like ninth. Okay. Eighth or ninth.
Yeah, they're not my last. I know my last place team.
Yeah, I think we agree on that one. We'll get there when we get there.
But I'll just add in about Evansville. I think this is another coach that's their second year into the Valley now with McCarthy. Or McCarty. Walter, is it McCarthy? We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll find it.
But the big thing is, I think Sam Cunliffe, that will be the big piece. A kid transferring from Kansas, this team is going to be a mix and match of what they can really put out there, and I think this is going to really just show really how things are going to be. Walter McCarty, he's really got an interesting lineup. DeAndre Williams, I think, is going to be someone that's sneaky. He's 6'9".
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of kind of, he'd like, interesting background of, like, where he came from, but his eligibility.
Oh, that's that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So.
We kind of talked about him one.
He tore up, so if people don't remember, they went to Europe, and he really tore up what was going on there, and he was really the best player for them to score.
They had their
trip to England.
International. Yep. Trip, summer league trip.
Yeah. So I think it's big, and the way I think this team, again, is Walter McCarty is from the NBA, and he knows how to, like, spread a team. And I think the sneaky thing, my one little side note is, I think Evansville's starting lineup will be kind of big.
Yeah.
Meaning athletically big.
Yeah.
You got guys, their shortest guy right now and projected is 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
They got 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", and 6'9".
Yeah.
So a range of guys.
They're going to be athletic.
And I think in the Valley, you can be that height, all that kind of like range and average of heights, and add athleticism to it, you change the game.
Yeah, I think...
But sadly, I do have to agree. I would put them down, if we're going to break it in tiers, like three-man weave, they are in my tier. It's tier four, but they're in my... The bottom. I think they're in the bottom tier. I'm going to actually put them at 8.
Okay, I think I agree.
There's going to be a few guys that I think are going to have a little bit rougher of a season.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to put them at 8.
Yeah. I think this team is going to...
We'll get into it.
I think the Evansville team is going to give people troubles in, like, the first 10, 15 minutes of a game, take some early big leads, but then struggle to maintain those leads. That's, like, how I kind of see their season going.
And another thing is we're not even mentioning, really, is, like, some of these teams, Evansville got a great one, Bradley, these teams got great non-conference games.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just, like, if they have a great run at non-conference... Especially in competition with these guys, we'll just have to see how they take that transition into Valley play.
This team, I think, more than any other Valley team, if they suffer an injury in their starting lineup, would be, I think there's some other teams that could handle that pretty well. So, I mean, you know, obviously your top teams are a little deeper, but even like a team like Loyola, who like we have obviously Krutwig and Lucas are our top two guys, but after that, it's a lot of, like, role players, where if one of those role players gets injured, we can have someone kind of fill that in and take up those minutes, or our freshman could step up. Whereas, like, this Evansville team, man, I don't know. I don't think they're very deep at all. So that's, like, unless you have anything else to add about the three teams that we covered today.
No.
Bradley, Drake, and Evansville.
Yeah, Bradley, returning conference championship.
Tournament
team.
Yeah.
I think they can make a run. Drake, returning co-champion league. Don't think we'll see that again. Not this year. And then Evansville, definitely improving from last year. I don't think they'll be falling back. I think they're moving forward. But I don't think... Again, we can surprise. This team is a mix of seeing what the new guys are going to do, not what the guys they had last year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gonna be maybe a step or two up. But I think Walter McCartney is going to have to make a big splash when some recruit or just find a momentum swing to really get them to the next level.
Yeah,
I don't see him making a jump like Drake or Bradley, winning any championships or co-league. But I don't think they'll be the worst.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for listening to another episode. We're gonna have some fun stuff. You know, we're gonna keep this up. We're gonna talk about. I'm sure any day now or any week, we're gonna have the predictions of the first team, second team, third team, like Valley, all Valley stuff. You want to make some quick predictions on that? Any just Loyola stuff? Any guys?
So Krutwig, yeah, easily. I think I've been Krutwig's gonna shoot a lot of threes and make them. So
oh, really?
He's going to be Valley Player of the Year.
Okay.
Not to harp on, but I do think Lucas probably won't be Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
I think Lucas Williamson needs a full, healthy year again.
Yeah.
To be back to the motor, which I then have a prediction for his senior year if he's got a full motor. But I think right now, it would be nice to see Lucas at a third team level.
Yeah.
But I...
Defensive team, though.
He might... I don't know how. I think he needs to be healthy.
Yeah, he does.
And if he's healthy throughout the whole year, then yes. So that's at least a third team for Lucas, and then a defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
One shootout there. I think one of our newcomers,
yeah,
regardless of JUCO or freshman, will be a contender for not just newcomer of the year and then freshman, but I think we could hopefully see someone on the second team.
Really?
Do you have one
name in mind, or are you?
My heart goes, and I love this man because I just think he's got great talent and raw talent.
Yeah.
I think Marquise Kennedy's got it.
I think he does, too.
But the thing is, I am intrigued by watching things of Pipkins or Clemens, and I think the way the team is going with Bruno, not sure of, like, the role, but, like, understanding he's a senior in leadership.
Right.
But really just trying to understand, and I think that's where exhibition game, but also just the beginning few games, it's going to kind of remind people of the final 4 year where Cameron Krutwig did not start.
No.
Cameron Krutwig until Florida, until
as
the injury.
As a freshman,
did not start, or at least as a newcomer is the better way to say it.
Right.
Because we didn't have a JUCO kind of newcomer at the time. Andre was an established senior.
Right.
But until the injury, we saw a newcomer, a freshman newcomer, start.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I'm not hoping an injury, but I think
no,
a
but
game,
it's just like maybe someone passes up, like their production value.
And then early on, you can kind of say, hey, let's
so
try.
So are
this
you
guy.
Between? Are you thinking one of either Kennedy or Clemens, or do you
or
have
even,
one
I
of
think
them?
Tate.
Yeah, Tate. Okay.
I think if okay, so quickly, I'm just gonna wrap. If Tate plays shooting guard, Tate.
Yeah.
I think Tate could maybe potentially, from rumors, again, as we're all respecting,
I think Tate and Lucas are going to be able to switch on defense. Like, I think that they can both defend the 2 and the 3.
Yeah, and easily.
So I think, like, they're kind of interchangeable.
But, yeah, no, well, I think that's just mine. Kramer Krutwig, player of the year, first team.
Yeah.
Lucas Williamson, healthy Lucas Williamson, definitely third team, and then defense player consideration, but definitely on the defensive team. But then I think it's going to be out there with a newcomer, freshman, kind of sneaking their way onto the teams.
Okay, so my predictions, Cameron Krutwig, player of the year, obviously.
Big country.
No doubt. King Krut,
King
player
Krut.
Of the year. I'm going to go with Lucas Williams, second team. I think he steps it up. I think his defense is great. I think really his offense takes the next step. I remember the one game against, I think it was Richmond in the Fort Myers tournament last year, where he scored like 23 points or something. I think we're going to see much more of that.
Okay.
And then I think either whichever guy takes a bigger role in the offense, either Keith Clemens or Marquise Kennedy, whichever one is playing more minutes at the end of the year, either Clemens is either going to get newcomer for or all newcomer team, or Kennedy's going to get freshman team. So those are my predictions. We should write them down somewhere and come back to them at the end of the year.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, all right. Those are quick takes. Thanks for listening. It's been a fun one. Got a new segment that we rolled out, and we'll continue to do that. If there's any news that breaks over the weekend, so we're recording this during the week before, so we'll be sure to add on anything that breaks over the weekend on next week's episode. So thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Podcast 63, and always do not forget, Go Blurs.